This is The Business Breakfast with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Greg Earlham joins me. Very good morning to you. So, vaccine announced yesterday and all the rest of it. Start of the long march back, according to the Chancellor. I suspect it'll be a very long queue, won't it?
Yeah, it's obviously a hugely important move. The idea that we can start vaccinating the most vulnerable in our society, that will it's going to be some time before the vast majority of us are able to get access to the vaccine. But by targeting the most vulnerable in society, obviously that means that the healthcare system can hopefully become less overwhelmed when we are seeing surges, which we are likely to do in the early part of next year, and that obviously affects lockdowns and the severity of restrictions, etc. So I think the fact that we are getting to this point is a massive positive. The US and the EU are likely to follow in the next couple of weeks as well, so hopefully we can start to see some good results. We're expecting, obviously, Moderna, you imagine, we'll see an approval as well, given that the technology that they use with the mRNA vaccine is extremely similar to Pfizer. And then hopefully AstraZeneca won't be too far behind. So yeah, it's good news, and it's been a series of good news weeks as far as these vaccines are concerned.
At the US stimulus talks, the plan there, which has been being discussed for months, it seems now, it does look as though the two sides are getting slightly closer together. What's your reading of that?
So I think both sides are being forced to get come closer together. Yesterday we heard from the House Majority Leader who suggested that something could be done by the end of this week, going into next week, effectively setting a deadline for the 11th of December, which coincides with the debt ceiling being reached again in the US. So the two sides have to agree a new funding bill for government to stay open. Otherwise, we're going to see partial shutdowns again, which isn't entirely rare, but I think both sides will want to get that over the line this time, especially given that the date is so close to Christmas. So the idea is that we could potentially see a kind of tie-over stimulus bill alongside any government funding to see us through Christmas, to see us through to the new administration in January, at which point more significant talks can begin. That's not ideal, don't get me wrong, but if it means that we avert a government shutdown, that we see people and businesses and households get tied over for the next couple of months, then I think that's probably the best option that we have at this moment in time, because ultimately there's still a massive bridge, but there's still a massive divide between what Nancy Pelosi and the House wants of $2.4 trillion stimulus plan and what Mitch McConnell, the Republican in the Senate, wants, which is closer to $500 billion. That's still a massive gulf, and it doesn't seem that they've come any closer themselves. There has been a bipartisan bill put forward, just shy of $1 trillion, but it doesn't seem that that's getting massive support from the Republican side in particular at this point.
Okay, if we get some decent figures out of, how do you describe these things? Not as bad as terrible figures from the US jobless non-farm payrolls tomorrow, then I suspect people will go into the weekend relatively happy, including the markets.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say, because it's almost one of those situations right now, this has been talked about so much over the years that we sometimes get to a point where bad news is good news and good news can be bad news. And what we mean by that, typically previously in the markets, it's been if the data gets so bad, you know you're going to get more stimulus from the Federal Reserve, you know they're going to start buying more bonds, or they may cut interest rates further, and the markets have therefore almost welcomed the bad news because it gives that a kick forward. And what we've seen from the last jobs report is the last jobs report was actually quite good, and then Mitch McConnell from the Republican side came out afterwards and said, see, maybe we don't really need that much stimulus after all. So it was almost kind of taken as a negative. So in a weird way, a strong jobs report may actually prolong the pain of stimulus talks. So it could almost be this kind of inverse situation once again, whereas if we get a bad jobs report, maybe it is going to be the kind of kick that all sides need to come to an agreement to see the US through the next couple of months, because a lot of the kind of paycheck support, etc., runs out at the end of the year. So time really is fast running out.
Prime Minister has been told to save jobs in retail. The risk of sounding cold and calculating about this, yes, of course. But some of those retail jobs were probably going to go in any case. I mean, it was certainly accelerated by the pandemic. But a lot of those retail jobs were in shops and retail groups that actually had not kept pace with the times. Am I being too cynical to be drawing a parallel between perhaps the miners and British Steel about this, you know, failing industries that had billions of pounds pumped into them for no use.
I think the difficulty with something like this is the scale of jobs that are to be lost in a short period of time. Yes, we want our high street to be efficient. Yes, we want them to be keeping up with the times, and we want owners who are going to be adapting so that we're not in this situation. And we've talked about the high street for years now, about how the fact that it's in a vulnerable position because there's still so many places which just haven't kept up with the times and which are struggling as a result. And we're seeing these little bailouts, and we're seeing renegotiation of rents, etc., in order to try and tie them over. And the pandemic seems to have been a massive straw that's broken the camel's back for so many at this point. You can see the argument for just saying, well, do you know what, these are businesses that aren't worth saving anymore, but given the times that we're living in, employment still has to be prioritised to a certain extent. So I think the best thing that almost government can do right now is try and find some responsible owners for many of these companies, so that at least a large number of them, a large amount of employment can be saved, and maybe then there's still hope for a number of these firms, because a lot of them are still massive names. So you have to think that, yes, they've been badly run for so many years, but you've got to think that there's still a lot, there's still a future there to potentially be had there if they are run by the right, if they're run by the right types of people and the right types of companies. And there is still a position for the high street. The high street is still going to be important. It just needs to transition. And again, under the right leadership, that can still happen. So I don't think it's a case of that we need to bail on these stores and we need to just cut loose and say that these were going to fail anyway. Given the amount of jobs that are on the line, I think that something has to be done at least to try and save some of the ones that still have a chance.
Chief EU negotiator Michel Barnier has been told to get tough on the trade talks and Brexit talks and all the rest of it. He's been told to get tough by France, by Holland, and also by Denmark. And yet, you know, there's a mixed picture, isn't there, about what the EU, various other countries, are feeling about our exit from the bloc. Do you feel as though this is just, you know, another headline, really, and a bit more noise and not a lot of news?
I do think that this is to some extent a headline. I do think it is also to some extent a little bit of brinkmanship, piling that last bit of pressure on into the final negotiations. But the markets would suggest that there is a little bit of nerves creeping in, and it's been incredible that up until now there has been no nerves creeping into these markets. They've been remarkably relaxed about the whole situation. But yesterday we did see the pound pulling back a little bit, suggesting that there is some nerves creeping in, although it has since rebounded, so maybe there's not too many at this point. But I do think that the commentary we're seeing is a little bit, maybe should be taken a little bit more seriously. I still can't envisage a situation where these talks collapse over fishing and level playing field and the kind of enforcement mechanism, not because especially the enforcement mechanism side of things, for example, isn't important, but because the idea that the sides can't come to an agreement on this, given everything that's happened in the last 4.5 years, given the fact that we're in the midst of a pandemic, the idea that they can be so inept that anyone can turn around in these talks and say, well, no deal is the better option here, I find to be quite ridiculous. So I'm still confident. I still have faith, I guess, in them to get this over the line. And that may be naive. We'll see in about, 4 weeks' time. But I do think we started to see nerves creeping in yesterday. So if we see more of this over the course of next week, we are running out of time. I mean, it is October was the deadline. Mid-November was the deadline. It's now early December. We are running out of time. Nerves are going to start creeping in if we start to see more of this rhetoric and we start to see more preparations.
Craig Ellam, thank you very much indeed.
This is The Business Breakfast with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.